Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on Wake Up Call. Good Tuesday to you. All this week, we'll be breaking down these teams, and we'll be looking at the four teams that are left for the championship Sunday leading into Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. Let's go back to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workforces? Come join our growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Matt Lombardo joins us, senior NFL analyst for FanBuzz, to talk about the championship games. How are you, Matt?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. All right. Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs, because this is the sixth time they have been here. But this was a season where people were wondering if they would get this far. They certainly didn't look like the normal Kansas City Chiefs. In terms of what went wrong with them this season and how they somewhat got through these two games in the postseason, how do you evaluate where they are today going into their game against Baltimore?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to a major miscalculation on general manager Brett Veach and head coach Andy Reid's part, that they could get by once again regressing at wide receiver. And, you know, we saw Rashee Rice really emerge down the stretch and in the postseason. I think that that's kind of the lead of the second part of your question. But Marquez Valdes-Scantling underwhelmed this year. Kadarius Toney just didn't work out. You talk to people around the league. When you come away from conversations with scouts and executives is that people get fired betting on his potential that never shines through. You saw it in New York, and you're seeing the disappointment in Kansas City. But, you know, I think that's the biggest issue, that they bet big that Patrick Mahomes could overcome mediocre or worse wide receiver play. And as a result, you know, I think that this was one of the more disappointing seasons we've seen from Mahomes and the Chiefs. But the way that they've survived, the way that they've thrived, is you're starting to see Isaiah Pacheco and the power running game shine through. You're starting to see Travis Kelce emerge, as he does in the postseason every year. And their defense is doing enough to get them to this point. They're just about to run into a buzzsaw in Baltimore. I'm not sure that they have the horses this time around to make it back into a Super Bowl for a fourth time.
Let's go to the Kansas City defense. This is one of the things that have been talked about this season, how good they played, but at the same time, there are some issues with it. What do you like about what Kansas City does defensively? What are some things Baltimore can exploit?
Yeah, I think that you look at them, it starts and ends up front. It starts and ends with Chris Jones and their ability to stop the run. I think what they did against Miami in the playoffs was as much a byproduct of the environment as it was anything that they did defensively. But, you know, for Baltimore, I think it just comes down to letting Lamar Jackson do what he's been doing. You look at Saturday afternoon, D'Amico Ryans threw everything, including the kitchen sink, at Jackson, blitzing him something in the area, according to Next Gen Stats, like 75% of his dropback.
Yeah.
And he still passed for two touchdowns, still ran for two touchdowns, and really turned it on in the second half. I think if you're the Ravens, you stick to your identity as a power running team. You get Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham Jr. involved on the perimeter, and you turn Lamar Jackson loose, and I think that that's going to be enough to get it done.
We were talking about this earlier today about Lamar Jackson. There was a period of time in his career he was really susceptible to the blitz, and now with Todd Monken, what do you see from their offense that frees him up a little bit so that he can be more effective against blitz packages that come at him?
Yeah, I think they've done a really nice job of getting the running game going. I think that their running backs have really performed well down the stretch, and I think that they've basically, you know, not tried to harness Lamar Jackson's ability as a runner. They basically said that when it breaks down, make it happen with your legs. I don't think that that's something that happened in their previous scheme. And I think that you're also watching a quarterback through the course of this season who has really matured as a pocket passer. And with his electrifying ability with his legs combined with a guy who's become more accurate as a thrower from the pocket, that's a dangerous combination. And there were several times this year, especially against teams like the Detroit Lions, like the games against the Texans, where you're starting to see Lamar create opportunities with his arm, with his legs, by extending plays, buying his receivers time downfield, to get open, create separation, and then, you know, hitting on an explosive in the passing game. And to me, that's just built on adding more talent at wide receiver and Lamar Jackson maturing and evolving as a quarterback. And again, that's a pretty potent combination.
The Ravens defense, how can Kansas City exploit? Mike McDonald has done great things against Miami, against San Francisco, against Detroit. I mean, he's dialed up some amazing game wins this year. Against Kansas City, what do you expect them to do against Mahomes? I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time, and everyone's thrown everything at him, but what do you expect the Ravens defense to look like?
Yeah, I think it's going to be what it usually is. It's pressure with the defensive line. I don't think that they're as blitz happy as they've been in the past under Wink Martindale.
Yeah.
But they win on the perimeter. They win with their secondary, which might be one of the two or three most talented and dominant secondaries in the entire league. And that's where I think this is a bad matchup for the Chiefs, because the receivers aren't anything to write home about anyway. They've really underperformed through the course of the year. And then you look at what they throw at you in that secondary in Baltimore. To me, it's just playing press coverage, not letting them create separation, and making sure that you have a safety essentially spying Travis Kelce throughout the course of the game. And you make Patrick Mahomes beat you with his legs and beat you by capitalizing on defensive breakdowns when you have them. But to me, I think that this is a really tough matchup for the Chiefs, given everything that the Ravens do well defensively.
All right, let's go to the NFC, and the Lions head to the tent to Santa Clara. They'll take on the 49ers. Jared Goff has had a career resurgence since arriving in Detroit, but there are elite-level quarterbacks. There's the next level of quarterbacks. There's good, great quarterbacks, like however you want to define it. Where is Jared Goff, in your opinion? How much close to the top is he, or how much is he benefiting from what's around him and just doing an efficient job, maybe better than efficient job, but where exactly do you see the way he's playing?
Yeah, I think that Jared Goff is in that good to very good tier. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback in this league. I'm not sure that he's a top 15 quarterback in this league, because even when the Lions produce these comeback wins late in the season, it feels like Jared Goff is the reason why they had to come back in the first place. But you look at what they do offensively, and Jared Goff might be, as Dan Campbell has said over and over again, a perfect fit for Detroit, because, you know, you look at Ben Johnson's offense, and I think that they beat you in so many different ways. They have, you know, burners on the perimeter and Amon-Ra St. Brown. You look at Jamison Williams on the outside, who, when they bring him in, just can stretch the field with an explosive play in an instant. But it's the power running game with that running back duo with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, that when you can lean on that running game late, you can put teams away. And then you have Sam Laporta operating in the middle of the field underneath as kind of that security blanket for Jared Goff. That's where I think they're winning. I think they're winning schematically. They're winning with elite play calling. And I think that, you know, you don't want to say that Jared Goff is along for the ride, but I don't know that Jared Goff is facilitating and making that offense better than the personnel has dictated that it is.
There's so many factors that go into why a team plays the way they play, and then that could be something that carries over, and it could be something that is completely forgotten. But when you watched San Francisco play the Packers, weather was a factor, the opponent was a factor, as the Packers ran the ball really well, but there was something about there was a vulnerability to San Francisco that I didn't think I would see, and I saw it. Why do you think that was, and do you think there's some carryover into what the Lions could do against them?
Yeah, I think there was some load management, to borrow a term from the NBA, when it comes to Christian McCaffrey, who you saw him getting his injured calf worked on the sideline throughout the course of that game. But then all of a sudden you look up in the fourth quarter and he's getting the ball every other carry, and he's over 100 yards and he has two touchdowns. So I think that, you know, when you don't have Christian McCaffrey at full strength for the full game, or you're managing him to keep him fresh late in the game, which was kind of my theory, that kind of goes against their identity and the way that they've built their offense. I also think that, you know, there was a little bit of rust at play. You know, that none of the starters played extensively, if at all, in week 18. You had the bye week. The weather was a factor, as you pointed out. And, you know, you look at the number 7 seed Packers coming in. I think they have a very, very bright future with Jordan Love at quarterback and a lot of the young personnel that they've built around him. I'm not going to say that you take a playoff team lightly, But I don't know that they prepared for the Packers to go at them quite as dominantly as they did. But you look at what they do, you look at the personnel they have in place, and it feels like with Detroit coming to town, this is a game that they'll be up for. This is a game they'll be ready for, especially with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line after what happened in Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game a year ago. So I think that this is a bounce-back opportunity for Brock Purdy and for the rest of that Niners offense.
Matt Lombardo again, FanBuzz. Appreciate it, senior NFL analyst on the championship games this weekend. Thanks for coming back to us. We appreciate it, my man. All right, again, Matt Lombardo at FanBuzz. I think his phone dropped too. Wow. I was going to try to squeeze this in because we only had 40 seconds, but I know he could give a real detailed answer. But in an era of football where we talk quarterbacks and offenses and who's the weapons on this team and who many weapons on this team, and that's legit. The NFL wants you talking about that. They love their offenses and they love their quarterbacks. But the four teams that are left, you have the top three scoring defenses in the NFL, in the Ravens and the Chiefs and the 49ers. That's not a nothing. That's a something. And as much as we will talk about the quarterbacks and as much as we will talk about, you know, whether where Jared Goff is and Brock Purdy being the last pick in the draft, but being a surprise efficient quarterback and the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, there are defenses that are going to be in play on Sunday that have a lot to say about the way these teams are going to be performing. But I like his point. I mean, about, look, I think there was some weather. I think there was some load management on Christian McCaffrey, but there was a vulnerability. I think it's going to be look, these two games have everything. All four teams have something really, really special going on. The Lions do have an obstacle here. I mean, this San Francisco team, when it is on, and you didn't really see it on Saturday because I think the weather in that first half really threw them for a loop, but when they're on, they are as more complete as anybody.